welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel.
Whoa.
That's true.
What an entrance. So this week is our recommendations episode, but before we dive in, Ariel has a little bit of news, and I'll just re-record that part in case it gets cut.
Okay.
So this week is our recommendations episode. So like we did last time, we have four different recommendation requests and we are going to just dive right in and answer them. I will start with my recommendation, which comes from Jenny. And she says, "Hi, Ariel and Raylene. I'm about to start teaching in high school, and especially with the current situation, I'm trying to encourage my students to get away from screens and read more. However, I do have a lot of reluctant readers slash kids who say they hate reading or haven't found a book they enjoy. Any recommendations for these kinds of young people? Thank you both." I like this
These
one.
These kinds of young people.
Young folks. What did you pick for this one?
Well, okay. First, I wanted to give a general, hard general recommendation to YA dystopian.
I'm going
to tell you right now, that's going to be your salvation.
I believe that.
As a person who was a teenager during the boom of YA dystopian, I can confirm that it's fucking great to read.
Yeah.
It is so fun to read a YA dystopian. I think it just hits on a lot of the fun things. Like, the characters are teens, and usually they're going through... And, like, I'm talking Maze Runner, Uglies, Hunger Games, a freaking Battle Royale, which I haven't read, but I've heard great things about.
Yeah.
Those sorts of books... Delirium, I don't know. Those sorts of books, they're about... a political system that's falling apart. So you've got this really fun, big world overarching plot, but then you also have a character growing and understanding themselves. So it hits that perfect teen spot.
Totally.
So that was like my main thing that I really wanted to be like, you just go in to YA dystopian. But I want to say, I kind of picked a weird one. I don't know, maybe this is a bit too middle grade-y, but I still think if they're young teens that I would really recommend the Chloe and Levesque series.
Oh, yeah.
I think I talked about this in one other episode, but I felt like it was a really perfect pick for this teacher because I read these in grade school and I loved them and they really got me into reading. They're super easy to read mystery books. And, you know, the Vancouver Sun called them John Grisham for teens. So that seems perfect. So basically, the Chloe and Levesque series, or Levesque series,
Levesque.
Is a series of 7 books, it would appear, maybe 8, that are, how do I explain them? They're about this girl who has a new stepdad, and her new stepdad, Levesque, she's Chloe, he's Levesque, her new stepdad is a cop. The books take place in Montreal, and so it's kind of got this vibe of, like, her dad is trying to solve, or her stepdad is trying to solve crimes that she also kind of ends up trying to solve.
I love it.
Classic. And they're just really, really fun. They're interesting. They're compelling. Again, they have this element of, like, a teenage girl growing up in Montreal. So I like the Canadian element also. But, you know, she's growing up. She's dealing with growing up. She's dealing with having a new stepdad. She has sisters. So she's dealing with her, like, family relationships. That is part of the story. But also, she's, like, in high school. She's dealing with high school relationships. And on top of everything, murder or crime or theft or whatever. She's, like, dealing with a big crime. So I loved these books. I thought they were so much fun. I found them really addictive. And I think more people should pick them up. So that's my rec. Actually, I'm pretty happy with my recommendations.
That's pretty
I think I did a good job on this one, really. Sometimes I don't.
I also like you highlighting, like, an unknown kind of weird old series.
Yeah.
That's cool, too, because people often just kind of go for the popular stuff. And then once they run out of popular stuff, it's like, well, what now? And you gave them the perfect thing. And mine is kind of similar. This is a series that came out... I want to say it's probably been like 20 years, honestly, since these came out at this point. They came out in the early 2000s, and it is a series by Darren Shan called the Cirque de Freak series or the Saga of Darren Shan, depending who you ask.
I remember you talking about these on BookTube and stuff.
I was obsessed with these. But the reason that I think that it works perfectly for this recommendation is because my brother is the one who recommended these to me, and he does not read. So my brother got into these when he was like, I don't know, 11 or 12. And he was like, these books are so good, you have to read them. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But then I read them, and I'm, you know, 2.5 years older than him, and I loved them. Was so hooked. It's a 12 book series. I read a book per day for 12 days until I finished, because it was just so addicting. It was a, you know, summertime, youth is great. I had so much time to read. But there, it's just such a fun series, and it's about this guy named Darren. Ironically enough, I don't know why the author named the character after himself, but he's this boy named Darren who, him and his friends sneak out one night because there's a freak show in town and they want to go to the freak show. And so they go late at night, and then they kind of get sucked into this world, and Darren, the main character, becomes a half vampire. He gets turned into a half vampire, so he has vampiric abilities, but he's still part human. And they you know, that's just the beginning of the story. I don't want to say too much, but it's like a crazy story. He, you know, gets involved with this full vampire guy, and he kind of becomes part of the freak show. And then the whole series is just about, you know, everything else that goes down. And there's like two different vampire clans that are like fighting against each other. Like there's the evil vampires and the good vampires, but it's all like very dark. It's like YA horror kind of, but it can appeal to anyone between the ages of like 11 and 17, because they are kind of a bit gruesome, but not too gruesome for kids, because, you know, it's kind of aimed at more of a middle grade crowd, I think, similar to your series, but it can definitely appeal to anyone. They're super, super addictive to read. Like I said, my brother does not read. Like, he's read this series and another series by Darren Shan, and he read The Hunger Games and Harry Potter, and that's all he's read. I think that all kind of falls under the same umbrella. Just, like, quick, exciting, easy-to-read books that are compelling and have interesting plots that you might not have seen
before. Similar to yours, the one that I recommended, the Chloe and Levesque series. Did I say who the author was? Nora McClintock? These books are a series, right? Like, obviously, like I said, it has like 8 books. Yours has like 12 books. I actually think that's really good for teens.
Totally.
Because once they find characters that they like, it's a lot easier for them to pick up another book in that series than it is to convince them to start another whole series.
I agree.
So that's another reason why I think both of our recs work.
Perfect. Well, what is one of your recommendations that you picked?
Alrighty, here we go. All right, well, I think I just did a really good job recommending, and now I'm going to do a really bad job. So, this comes from Gabriel. He asks, what is a book that Ariel and Raylene would star in the movie adaptation of? A book with 2 female protagonists, which Ariel and Raylene would love to tackle as actresses in a movie or stage adaptation. I thought those might be fun? ?
I love this one so
Gabriel,
much.
Well, Gabriel, this is really fun, and we loved this. We thought this was so fun. Oh, I just didn't do a great job.
It was surprisingly hard to come up with one.
It was surprisingly hard because of two things. One, first I had to find a book about 2 characters that were female, that were platonic. Like, I love you, Raylene, but we're not going to fall in love in
the movie. No.
and then secondly, the characters had to be a bit like us, and I was like, well, that's actually very difficult. So my first, I picked 2, and neither of them are very good.
Hope it isn't the one I picked.
Anne of Green Gables?
No, I was thinking about picking that, but then I was like, don't, we are not children, I can't be those characters. Do you think is who? Are you Anne?
Yes, I am Anne.
Of course.
I'm sorry, but I'm Anne, and you're Diana.
Perfect, that's fine by me. Diana gets drunk.
I love this story. I haven't read the book yet, but I am definitely planning on reading it this year. I've been kind of meaning to read it for so long, but as I've mentioned on the podcast, I think, I binged the show and with an E and fell in love with it so hard. And the thing about this book is that it's the first in a long series.
That's true.
And in the other books, she's older, right?
Yeah.
Like, she goes through adolescence into being 20, into having kids and stuff. So we could do Anne later.
That's true.
So the reason why I think I'm Anne is because I'm a bit of a lunatic.
It makes sense,
I also have long hair, like,
that's
Anne,
true.
That's, like, curly and crazy. Hers is, you know, orange, but, like, you get the sense that the hair is a big part of her personality, and I feel like my hair is a part of my personality.
Totally.
She's also kind of an outcast, which I do relate to. And then Diana, she has it more put together, which I relate with you. Yeah. She's a bit more orderly, is more organized, which I really relate with you. She also is a brunette, which, you know,
that's me. In a nutshell.
Also, in the show, I don't know if this is a thing in the book. Maybe it is. In the show, she is partly French. Like, she speaks French. You speak French.
That's true.
So, it just seems
That makes perfect sense. Wow. Amazing.
I think we could do a good job. And the thing, the most important thing that we would emphasize is their bond as friends, right? Like, this is a book about two, not that the whole book isn't about their friendship, but it is a big part of the book, is Anne trying to find a friend. She's never been good with friends. Honestly, the more I talk about it, the more perfect it feels.
Yeah.
Because I've always struggled with finding friends. I'm not very good at that whole shtick. Probably just because I've moved so much.
Yeah.
That I move, all throughout being a kid, I would constantly move and I would never be good at building friendships. And when Anne meets Diane, she's like, you are my bosom friend. Like, we're going to be best friends until we're freaking old. And I'm like, that's my whole goal with Raylene, is to have her be my friend when I'm old. So, you know what? This is perfect.
That is perfect. But you have another one?
I do have another one that's not good at all. It's bad for many reasons.
Okay.
One, you don't like those books.
I'm interested.
Secondly, I don't really remember it. So I don't really remember if we're like the characters.
Okay, I need to know. Just tell me.
Attachments by Rainbow Rowell. Okay.
That's so random, but yeah, go on.
Here's the reasons that I did pick it. Number one, it's two characters who are friends through email. Mm-hmm. And you and I are largely friends through the internet. That's true. Because of YouTube. We maintain our friendship even though we live far apart. We maintain our friendship because of the internet. So I thought that we could actually do a good job of acting through the internet.
Totally. I could totally sit at a desk and type and just be typing. I could act that for sure.
I also just think it would be, even though, you know, we're not completely co-workers, we do host this podcast together and it is part of our job. So the women in this book are co-workers. So, you know, we kind of have a co-worker vibe. We have a project that we do together. And then the other big reason is that my friend, Megan Hughes, she texted me the other day out of nowhere. Mm. And she was like, Ariel, I am in the, she was almost done reading this book. She really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I know you didn't like it very much, but
I didn't finish it.
Pardon?
I didn't finish it, so.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. But she was really enjoying it, and she was like, I just have to tell you that you really remind me of the main character, Beth.
Whoa.
And I was like, what? And she messaged me, and it was pretty funny because she was like, she literally went on my Goodreads to see if I had read the book, and she's like, I know you read it 6 years ago. And I was like, it has been a long time. She's like, so I know that maybe this, okay, this is what she texted me. She said, her character Beth's wittiness, silly puns and jokes in this book reminds me of you so much. Not her obsession with Lincoln, lol, just her personality. And she even sent me a quote. She said, at one part, she said, October, baptize me with leaves. Wow, that sounds like Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah, honestly.
Swaddle me in corduroy and nurse me with split pea soup. October, tuck tiny candy bars in my pockets and carve my smile into 1,000 pumpkins. Oh, autumn. Oh, tea kettle. Oh, grace. And I don't know why, but I could just see you seeing that.
Man, we should really make this into our own movie.
Yeah. This is great. So, first of all, love to be thought of that way. So the big problem is I don't remember Jennifer's character, which it would be you. I don't know if you're like
That's
Jennifer.
That's fine.
But I'm just going to pretend that you are like Jennifer.
Works for me.
I just seem to remember, once again, that Beth was slightly wacky and Jennifer was more of the straight man.
Yeah.
Which is you.
That's me, for sure.
You are constantly keeping me in line on this podcast. Actually, I think I didn't actually do as bad as I thought I did.
No.
I think we could pull both of these off. And I'm calling it a success.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear what you picked, though.
What book did you pick for us? Okay, I was racking my brain for any books that were about two female friends. And I could not come up with anything other than this book.
Okay.
And that is, and I honestly think it works, though.
Okay.
Since You've Been Gone by Morgan Matson. Hear me out.
For a moment, thought about that book. Please tell me what you were thinking. But I agree.
Am I
the friend that ran away?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm the star of this movie because this book is about basically two friends. One of them is very shy. The main character is Emily. She's super shy, you know, sticks to her own thing. But then there's Sloane, who is this like big personality, super outgoing. She like yanks Emily out of her shell that she was in. But then she disappears and she leaves behind 13 tasks that Emily would never do, but she
says... This does kind of sound like something I
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's something wacky enough that Ariel might do that. And I could just see you as being, like, this crazy character who's just like, yeah, whatever. And there'd be lots of flashback scenes to, like, when they were together and being friends together. So I feel like that would be really fun because we became friends as teenagers, right? So I feel like it fits really well. And there's, like, the one friend with a big personality and the other one who's kind of more reserved and shy. And then just like all the crazy things that she makes her shy friend do, which I think is a lot of fun. I love this
honestly
book
that is us. I'm constantly making you do shit you don't want
to
do.
You're like, hey, how about this new idea? So
we're doing a podcast
yeah
now.
And honestly, when I read this book, I was like, I hope there's a movie because I want to audition to be the main character. Like in my mind as a teenager, I was like, I can do that.
That means it's perfect.
Yeah, that's like a perfect choice. I wanted to be Emily, so
I will gladly be Sloane. Great name, Sloane.
Oh, it's a good name. Great name. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Actually, I think I did a good job with that.
I think so too. I would love to hear what other people think would be good.
Say that exact same thing. So we will post one of the Instagram photos that we post this week. Will be of maybe we should do the first one we post. Will be of either the ones I picked or the ones you picked, and I'd love to hear comments from people.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to see.
Because that's hilarious.
So funny. Okay, well, let's dive into my next recommendation. This one comes from Lily, and she says, hi, I was wondering if you guys could give some graphic novel recommendations for people who don't read a lot of them, but are trying to read more of the genre. So we've answered a couple of questions like this before, so we had to kind of think outside the box. What are some really great graphic novels that we haven't discussed yet?
Yeah.
I'll give the floor to you. Did you find something good to recommend?
Yes, I have two.
Okay, me too.
For some reason, I only pulled one down from my shelf. I don't know why. So I'll talk about that one first. Moon Cop by Tom Gauld.
That one's fun.
This is a book that I really love. Have you read this one?
I did, actually. I read it 2 years ago, maybe.
Did you like it?
I thought it was okay. But, well, like, it's fine. It's just very minimalist as far as graphic novels go.
Well, and so this was the thing. One of the reasons that I wanted to recommend this one is because it's a bit different from the ones that we've recommended in the past. You know, there is the YA graphic novel genre, which I really love, like The Prince and the Dressmaker and Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. We've talked about those books a lot and because they're so good, but I wanted to recommend something a little different. This one's going to be really good for our next recommendation too. This one's very melancholy. It's called Moon Cop. It's about a cop who lives on the moon and on a colony on the moon, but like everyone's leaving the moon. The moon's not cool anymore. Yeah. Everyone's going back to Earth. It was like kind of a failed experiment. So he doesn't have any crimes to deal with.
Yeah.
He just kind of floats around on the moon. I love the art style.
Me too.
There is not that much dialogue, but the dialogue that's there I think is really powerful and interesting. And just overall, the book has this really zen vibe that I really loved it. And I actually made my dad read it, and he loved it, and he constantly shouts, Moon Cop! At me, which I just think is great. And so it's very short. It's very straightforward. It's not very complicated. Yeah. The art style is very consistent. So I think it actually is a good place to start, and it won't take you very long to read. My other pick that I picked is Soppy by Philippa Rice.
Oh yeah.
Have you read this?
I haven't read it, but I remember when you read it.
It's freaking gorgeous. It's really, really cute. It is the definition of cute. So if you're looking for something cute and happy and fun, this is for you. It is about a couple, about Philippa Rice, and I don't know if back then they were married, but I think now they're married. But her and her boyfriend, and it's just all of these, it's not a graphic novel that has like a plot. You know, it's not like a beginning to end kind of thing. It's just a lot of different scenes and mini comics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're really relatable. They're like super relatable, super funny, fun, charming, cute. The drawing style is all in shades of black and red.
Love it.
Black, red, and white. And it just works really well. Like, it's got this really strong style. But it's just adorable. Like, that's the main word for it. It's just very adorable and relatable. Mm-hmm. So I thought that could be another good one that we haven't really talked about very much.
That's true.
Or at all. I don't think I've talked about that one at all on the podcast.
No, I don't think so either.
That is cute and would be good for someone who's only just starting graphic novels because it doesn't have a big plot. It's just like mini comics, so you can just read it pretty fast.
Yeah, that one made me just think of another one that I wasn't planning on recommending. So now I'm going to talk about three.
Here we go.
Just really quick. So that one reminds me of Fangs by Sarah Anderson, which I just read recently. She wrote, Sarah Scribbles is how she's kind of known online. Yeah. What is that one called? Adulthood is a Myth? Is that what her book is called?
Yes, I think that's her. That's the one I've read by her.
Yeah, Adulthood is a Myth is the first of her kind of series of comics that have come out. I haven't read any of those, but I follow her on Instagram and think she's hilarious. And so when I heard she had a new book coming out, I was like, gotta get that. It's about a vampire and a werewolf that fall in love. And it's just like little glimpses. Yeah, it's great. It's just like single page comics about little glimpses into their life and their relationship. And it's really cute and short. It's like maybe 120 pages. So it's an easy entryway into the graphic novel world. But now on to the ones I was planning on recommending. Firstly, Sweet Tooth by Jeff Lemire. This is
it looks scary.
It's kind of scary. It's dystopian. It's a 6-volume graphic novel or comic series. And basically, it's in a post-apocalyptic world where 7 years previously, there was an event called The Affliction that killed billions of people, and ever since then every kid that's been born is a half animal, half human hybrid. So like there's, you know, maybe radiation or something that's causing this to happen, like moving forward from that event. And so the main character is this boy named Gus, and he's half deer. He's a deer boy, and he's so sweet and so cute. And basically something bad happens at the beginning, and he's left all alone, and he gets kind of picked up by this guy named Jeopard, and he's like this grizzled old man who is, you know, good at fighting, good with the gun, and he protects Gus, and they kind of become a team. And they're
sounds amazing.
It's really good. It's like, if you like The Walking Dead and stuff like that, this kind of has a similar vibe, but with, you know, a smaller cast and a really old man and a young boy. And
I love that
combo. Yeah, and it's really great because, you know, there's people who are fighting against these hybrid children. They don't want them to exist. And there's, you know, they're trying to capture them and put them in a bad place. And so it's all about them trying to avoid that and, you know, make the world move forward. So it's a very, very gripping series. It's only 6 volumes, but I have these nice deluxe editions that are 2-in-1. Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's one of the greatest comic series, and people never, ever talk about it.
I actually really want to read that. That sounds really great.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So I highly recommend that. Another one that's actually, it was a webcomic, Check Please by Ngozi Okazu. This is now a 2-volume series, but it's all kind of, since it was a webcomic, it's lots of little glimpses kind of into these people's lives. And it follows this main character who goes by the name of Biddy. That's what they call him because he's on a hockey team. Everybody has these nicknames. And he's like this small boy who used to be a figure skater and loves to bake pies and is now on a hockey team. And he's kind of like the smallest guy on the team. And so it's just all about that. But also he's falling in love with one of the guys on his team. And it's like full of drama, and it's beautiful, and the art is really cute. And I haven't read the second volume yet, but the first one just made me so happy. Blew me away. I know you didn't love this one as much as I did, but it's a great book for those
who haven't. Yeah, I kind of love that about the podcast. I think it's really good because I will often recommend books that you didn't really like. You'll sometimes recommend books that I wasn't a huge fan of.
So you get a big, wide variety. But it shows different
perspectives, which I think is great. I wasn't a huge fan of that book. I didn't hate it or anything. Yeah. I just kind of was like, okay, I would not read a sequel. It was fine.
Yeah. It's a different storytelling because it's not really like a big, like, arc. There are certain things that have, like, a big arc, but it, you know, kind of just throws you into random scenarios, which isn't for everyone.
Yeah, it's a web comic, and I think you can tell, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell that it came out in little bursts.
Yeah, but I think it's a beautiful story, good LGBT rep, and it's just honestly very fun. Again, I don't really like sports stuff, so it's saying a lot that I like this book, because it's like, I do not care about sports at all, but I feel like getting to kind of deep dive into a college hockey team was very interesting, and seeing all the different personalities.
Remember that we realized that I like sports books, but I didn't realize that I like sports books because of Albatross, and there was another one that I read, and I was like, do I love sports books?
I think I might be into sports stuff more than I think, too, because I watched the movie Bad News Bears last year, like the original one, and I was like, this is incredible. Like, this baseball movie is so good. I don't know what it was. It just, I felt so connected to it.
Yes. Oh, man. I remember watching, like, football movies in high school and like being emotionally moved, and I was like, do What's I care happening? About Ruby? What was it? Ruby who went to Regiopolis Notre Dame. I was like, and it stars Samwise Gamgee. I forget the actor's name. Sean Astin?
Yeah, that's the one.
And I was like watching this in high school, and I'm like deeply moved. The one ironic thing, I don't know if people know this about Ariel, she went to, I don't know what I'm talking about myself in the third person. It happens sometimes. I went to a Catholic high school. Mm-hmm. Oy, that's a whole thing in and of itself. But I did go to a Catholic high school, and my high school was Holy Cross. Couldn't be more Catholic.
Seriously.
Jesus. Holy Cross Secondary School Holy Cross Catholic Secondary School, and our rival school in Kingston, I grew up in Kingston, Ontario, mainly, was Regiopolis Notre Dame. And so in that movie, the main character goes to Regiopolis Notre Dame College in the States. And so I never fully connected because I was like, that's our rival. Anyway, that's just a fun fact. Let's move on to our final recommendation. Mm-hmm. This one comes from Louise Stevens, and I was very excited to see this one. She asks, hi Ariel and Raylene. Last week I finished A Little Life, and I have been binging the podcast while recovering from that very depressing experience. Our hearts go out to you. However, I am already craving another very emotional book. I kind of want to read a book that will make me feel like Lorde's music makes me feel. Nostalgic, poetic, sad, euphoric, etc. Thanks for helping me through the multiple breakdowns I had. Louise. So this, I think this is great. I love this for multiple reasons. One, I love Lorde. She was supposed to release an album this year. Is that still happening? I don't know.
Who knows?
I do think that Lorde needs to give me more music. I will say that there's the stretches between albums. It's a little painful. A little too much. Secondly, I made a video a long time ago called Would George Orwell Have Listened to Lorde? And I've done a real deep dive into Lorde's lyrics, let me tell you. And so I was just excited to hear other people being like, what is a book that Lorde would like? Or like that is like Lorde. So what did you pick? I'm very curious about what you picked.
I feel like I kind of failed this one because I just couldn't figure it out. But I just felt like I'm going to recommend a book that moved me and made me feel sad.
Yes.
Which I feel like is at the core. Yes. What Louise is asking for. Although I feel like it also has feelings of nostalgia and poetry and stuff to it. And that is, it's a book I've talked about a lot, so I won't go too much into it, but it's The Time Traveler's Wife by Audrey Niffeniger. And this one is about a couple who go through a crazy journey. The man, Henry, is a time traveler. He can't control when he time travels, but throughout his adulthood, he travels back to when Claire was a little kid, and he would just talk to her. They would have, you know, conversations, then he would disappear. And so she has all these memories of him without really understanding who he is. And then later in life, when she's an adult, they meet in real life, like in the right timeline. And then the story goes forward from there. But the story is very sad because throughout their relationship, when they're, you know, dating and when they're married, Henry just disappears sometimes, and she doesn't know when he'll be back. She doesn't know what he's doing when he's gone. And it's just kind of like adds pressure to their relationship. But there's also other aspects that are very sad and just tragic and like just so unfortunate, something that, you know, nobody in a relationship wants to go through. And so it is a very emotionally impactful book in a different way than A Little Life. I haven't read that, but I know it's about a group of friends and there's, you know, mental health struggles and stuff like that. This book isn't so much like that. It's more sad in a relationship kind of falling apart kind of way. So it's definitely different, but it's very sad and good. Wonderfully written.
I think that fits the bill.
Yeah.
I think that fits the bill for sure. Thanks. Okay, well, I do first want to start off by re-recommending Moon Cop. Because I actually, now that I was talking about it, I realized this is very Lorde-y. It's very moody. It's melancholy, it's emotional, it's nostalgic. You know, it's kind of nostalgic for a time when the moon, well, there was something to do on the moon. I do think that a lot of the imagery is really poetic.
Totally.
Actually, so I really recommend this one, Louise. Please go pick up Moon Cop. But the one that I actually picked was The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. Oh,
yeah, that's so perfect.
You'll remember I read this a few months ago, and I think, shit, this is perfect for this. This is, like, literally perfect. So, nostalgic. 100% nostalgic. It's her, like, growing up. And it's the main character, Esther, kind of, like, understanding what it is to be an adult versus what it is to be a child. There's this whole moment where, because of her mental health, she has to go back home. Mm-hmm. But she's changed now that she's lived on her own for a time. And going back home is stressful and difficult. And I think it has that nostalgia. Mm-hmm. It is the most poetic thing of all time. Like, literally, the lines in here just make you go, like, shit.
Yeah.
Also, obviously, Sylvia Plath is a poet. She has poetry collections.
Yeah, exactly.
So because of that, I think there is an intense sense of poeticism. Sad. So sad. Mm. This is so sad. It is so moving. It is so powerful in that kind of tragic growing up mental health kind of a way.
Yeah.
And euphoric. I think it is also euphoric. It has these moments of intense ups and downs. So I think actually this is the perfect book, Louise, that you have to read. I also, like, I forget if A Little Life is set in New York,
yeah,
but I'm pretty sure it is, right?
Yeah.
It's set in a city. This also takes place in New York, and I think it will give you a lot of that same vibe that you're looking for from A Little Life, coming from two people that didn't read A Little Life.
Yeah.
So what the hell do we know? But from everything I've heard, I think that this will fit your bill very perfectly. And I, like I said, I just read it, and I really, really enjoyed it. I will say there's a couple of insensitive wordings of things and a couple of insensitive metaphors that are racist. It was, you know, it came out in the 50s. It was a different time and a different world. But I think that overall, the themes of feminism and mental health are so powerfully good that we can be intelligent readers and separate the two. So,
yeah, that actually, that recommendation just made me think of another one. I won't go too into it because I just recommended it last episode, I think. The Virgin Suicides by Jeffrey Eugenides is another great
perfect
one for this.
I think, yeah.
It's the most nostalgic book I've ever read. It made me, like, long for a childhood I didn't have, like, I don't know, and it is very sad. It's, you know, it's an emotional book too, and so I think that is a good recommendation also.
Yeah,
I do
Louise,
say so myself.
Louise, I think we got, you know what, Raylene, I think this is the most successful recommendations we've ever done.
I know, and I felt bad confident about some of them, but now that we've talked it out, I'm like, these are great.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident actually about what we've done here today.
Yeah, we've done good work. Give yourself a pat on the back. Well,
pat on the back.
Thank you guys once again for listening to the podcast. Thank you so much to our dust jackets, our patrons. One day we'll stop calling them patrons because you'll all know that that's what the dust jackets are. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We are off to record our bonus mini podcast, Books Unbucket, and I just had to think of a question on the fly because I didn't have one prepared. So I'm going to ask Ariel, what books do you think would make a really good movie or TV show right now in your life? What's something that you are craving to have adapted?
Yeah.
So that's what that episode will be about. If you're one of our patrons, you'll be able to listen to that. And this has been Books Unbound with your hosts, Raylene and Ariel. This episode was edited by CJ Bissette of northernsoundhouse.ca, and our community manager is Mars Grove. And we're off to go record Books Unbucket, like I said. Goodbye.
Bye.